69 as the song of invitation so I can be prepared. Well, I've got good news and bad news tonight. The good news is, this may be a shorter lesson than I planned. The bad news is I left my notes at home on the desk. There's more good news, though. Most of my material is on PowerPoint presentation, which I'll turn the projector on, and you will be able to see what I'm going to present tonight. If you don't have a handout, I'd appreciate it if you'd get one. And if you don't have one, Brother Craig in the back will hand it out. If you're a baptized believer and you're in this building right now, I'd like you to have a handout. I've got a few more up here at the front, so if we run out, I've got some more. Husband and wives, don't share. Get an individual one. And as you'll see, there's some material on there. So everybody have a handout. Anybody that needs one, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. And gentlemen that are doing the passing out, there's extras up here in the front. Okay. Grab the whole stack there, Jason. Thank you. Well, good evening. And my job tonight is to probably keep you awake, for one thing. After that Sunday afternoon nap and a good lunch, sometimes Sunday evenings come a little hard. And so I'll do my best to do that. And I'll also do my best to challenge you. As the slide there says, get ready to be challenged. A little background on this lesson. I was up in Yosemite Valley early October. Met with some friends of mine, some high school buddies that I used to rock climb with years and years and years ago. We had our 50th Poway Mountaineers reunion. That was great. Yosemite's beautiful. But it was nothing compared to what I was exposed to when I met with some Christians on the way coming home. I stopped off in Fresno, and I went to a little church, the Sun Garden Church of Christ in Fresno. Anybody ever worship there? Okay, a couple people have. You know that little group. Great group. And I had dinner with some close friends of mine there, and they presented me with some material that really impressed me. And it was like I was struggling with what to preach on, because I always like to, I like this last Sunday of the year, in this case, first Sunday of the year, the December, you know, January, because it's kind of like out with the old and in with the new. We can look back at the year behind us and say, what did we do right, what did we do wrong? And we can look forward ahead to the new year, the year of promise. What can we do better in 2015? And so I like this time frame to give a lesson, because I think it's a great time to both be retrospective and look forward. So hopefully let's get into this lesson. And you'll find also that I'm a very problem-solution-oriented kind of person. That probably comes with some of my job. But people have also told me that I'm a very nuts-and-bolts kind of guy in my lessons. The sermons that I've given have been very nuts-and-bolts kind of sermons. And I appreciate that, because I think we need to be practical in our faith. We need to be able to apply what we learn. We pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding of the scriptures, but if it doesn't carry through to our daily lives and to what we do, it's really of naught. And so I'm a nuts and bolts kind of guy, but I'm also a believer that sometimes you got to dress up the nuts and bolts a little bit and make them a little more appealing. So, you know, nuts and bolts decorated cupcakes, I don't know about that. But I also know that if you use those same nuts and bolts in maybe a more creative way, you can do something really interesting with them. And so this will be a nuts and bolts sermon tonight. I don't really give sermons, I give lessons. And this may be a little bit like a class. If you have a handout, you're going to see some questions on there. We're going to do those questions. That's going to be a part of the lesson tonight. So if you feel like I'm pointing at you tonight with anything that I say, recognize that I know that there's three fingers pointing back at me. And believe me, I've looked at this material. I've listened to some material that the audio on audio tapes that I'm going to present to you tonight in kind of a Reader's Digest condensed version. And I've considered this stuff very heavily in my own life already. So if you feel like I'm pointing at you a little bit, recognize I'm preaching to myself also. What is the greatest need of the church? I believe it's personal evangelism. Now, why is it evangelism? Because that's the basic work of the church. Along with building up, yes, and I'll use some analogies later. Yes, we need to be built up. But the work of the church is evangelizing the world. And we need to keep track of that. And so I'm going to present some material, a lesson based on and developed by two ministers of the gospel, Ken Craig, who is the author of a book, The Big Picture of the Bible. I have several copies here. Some of them I'm going to hand out at the end of the lesson. And Brent Hunter, who I found is a college roommate of our Mitch Brown. Interesting little tidbit. But Brent Hunter was at the Sun Garden Church of Christ just a little bit before I got there, and he did a series of lessons. And I'm going to present to you some of that material on those lessons tonight. Let me start out with a parable, the parable of the lighthouse. Let me start out with a drink of water. There once was a lighthouse staffed by a few diligent men who kept the light burning bright, polished it, made sure it operated, keep the ships off of the rocks and the rocky shores. And on the occasion that a ship did hit the shores and there were men that needed to be rescued, they had the rescue boats. They would go out of their little hut and they would man the rescue boats and they would go out into the ocean in the cold water and they would rescue those people and bring them back in to safety. And they were very good at that. And they got used to doing that and they got used to doing it well and they were spending a lot of time manning the lighthouse and they had dedicated people that were good at that and were doing it regularly. And they began to be known around the community and surrounding areas as being a very good rescue operation and a very good lighthouse operation. And so people started donating money to their cause, and they were able to buy more equipment, and they were able to do some things. And pretty soon they said, well, you know, we're spending a lot of time up here at the lighthouse. Why don't we have some facilities where we can have our families come up and spend some time with us while we're here? Then we can enjoy a little bit of family time, and we won't be spending so much time away from our family. Sounded like a good idea. And so they said, let's do that. So they built on, and they built on to the thing, and pretty soon, because the kids were there, they said, you know, our children need a little bit of recreation. Let's do a recreation hall. And before you knew it, the thing looked more like a country club when they were done. And the mission of the lighthouse was lost. And pretty soon all it was about was recreation and doing things that were interesting. And a core group of the men that were really dedicated to lighthouse and rescue of the people at sea went off and they formed a new group down the coast. Well, you can see that this has probably happened in churches of Christ. Certainly in the denominational world, they have gotten off track on where we should be going as Christians and as people who should be shining the light of Christ into the world and being prepared to go out and rescue lost souls. John 4:35, don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe with harvest. Does this saying of Jesus apply today? The picture kind of indicates so. We don't see Jesus standing out in front of skyscrapers very often. But I like that picture because I believe this does apply today. And what does that verse imply? Number one, open your eyes and look at the fields. Are we doing that as Christians today? Are we looking at the fields white with harvest, or have we become lighthouses with no purpose? They wanted to put it off. Don't we still have 4 months until harvest? No, Jesus is saying the harvest is now. The time is now. Look unto the fields, for they are ripe with harvest. If you believe that scripture, if you believe that Jesus said that and you believe that's timeless, then we have to do something. What do we have to do? One more parable. Parable of the pond. Honey, does this look familiar? I've got a hole in the back of my yard that looks much like this right now. My fish pond, I have drained it. I have taken the liner out, and it's totally drained and no liner. So what if I had a nice deep hole like this in a fish pond and I filled it with water? Sorry for the poor graphics, but that's the best I could do. And then as a fisherman, and I love fisherman analogies because, you know, they're great. There's a lot of good fisherman analogies. But what if as a fisherman, I went and grabbed my pole and sat down by that pond and cast into it? And I'm waiting for the fish to come. That would be a little stupid. That would be ignorant to think that we can sit by a pond that I just filled with water and that the fish will come. And if I finish my fish pond at home and I don't go somewhere and buy fish and I just say, hey, honey, I'm waiting for the fish to come, my wife is going to think, you know, I've lost a couple wires up there. Some marbles have rolled out. So let's not get this church-itis kind of thing, thinking that we're waiting for sinners to walk in the door and come in here and sit down and be taught. That's not going to happen. Now, I got to tell you, I'm the exception to the rule. When I lived up in Chico, I looked up in the directory to find a church, and I walked into a Church of Christ, and I got taught the gospel. Thank the Lord for that. I thank him every day that I was looking for a church, and I said, Church of Christ, that's what it should be. And so I went in there. But I would be dumb if I kept that kind of attitude. Luke 10:2, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How many of you are praying earnestly to send laborers into the field, into the harvest? The harvest is out there, right? The fields are white with harvest. And so we need to be praying about that. We need to be praying for that. Some of us, unfortunately, are in the field, but we're doing more like this. Three fingers, most of them pointing back at me. I'm feeling it too, but I'm bringing the message to you. A recent survey, this is very eye-opening, on about 280 churches of Christ. This is an actual survey was done. The average congregation baptizes 5% of its membership annually. That means if the members are 100 members, the average church baptizes about 5 people a year. Okay? If the children of the members are deducted, the figure is 2%. I didn't make this up. This was a survey that was done. Elders, deacons, teachers average one visit to an outsider per week. Okay, this was just a survey that was done. Bible classes held with a non-Christian, this is a non-churched person, an outsider, averaged less than 1% of church membership. Less than 1%. These are sobering things. They were when I read them. I hope they are for you. Less than 5% of us won a soul to Christ last year. I'm ashamed to admit, because I got three fingers pointing back at me, I am not one of the 5%. Less than 10% had an active prospect file. Who do you want to teach the gospel to? We know what the gospel is. We have it. I'm going to show you a presentation of it in a little bit. We're going to see a little mini presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I better get going because that clock runs. Are these facts we should be proud of as members of the Church of Christ, either collectively? No, they're not. They're a sobering reality that we need to face. And I'm going to suggest a solution. Remember, I'm a problem-solution kind of guy. So I'm going to suggest the problem. I think I'm outlining it. Finally, do they represent the Indian Wells Valley Church of Christ? I'll let you answer that in your own mind and in your own heart. Could be. I thought back. How many baptisms can I think of since we've been in this building? I could count three. There may be more, but I counted three. Remember, we have been taught to teach, one to win, and saved to serve. I don't know who came up with that little phrase. It's not Bible, but it sure is something that I want to dwell on. We've been taught to teach, one to win, and saved to serve. Where would you be today if the person who taught you was not actively involved in teaching? We wouldn't be Christians. We wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't be if people didn't take time to stop and teach me. Okay, if you have a handout, look at it. Get it up because it's got questions on it. And I'd like you to go with me on these questions. Now, if you have a pencil and you want to jot an answer in the little space there, you can. But you might want to just think about this as we go through these. This is an individual thing I want you to think about for you, as I've already done. And think about these things in terms of where can I improve myself and where am I failing and what can I do about it? Because I'm going to present a solution. Problem, solution kind of guy. How many people have I helped lead to Christ? You can think in terms of last year, or you can just go in terms of your whole life as a Christian. How many people have I helped lead to Christ? Is that a single-digit number? Can you do it on one hand with a few fingers left over? Okay, put a number down. How many people do I now have my heart set on to win to Christ? I think we can all say our unchurched family, maybe some of our churched relation that are denominational, stuck in denominationalism, don't understand it. But do you have people in your mind right now that you're set on winning to Christ? To what extent have I gone to try to win these people? Approximately how many hours or minutes per week do I average talking to people about the Lord? Now, we can have casual conversation about the Lord, or we can have very serious conversation and talks about God. And how do we get to a knowledge that brings them to salvation? How often do I pray for certain individuals to obey the Lord, to be restored to faithful Christian duty? How often do you just pray for individuals? I've started praying for my children. Seriously, praying for my children. With tears, praying for my children. Do I ever pray fervently that I might become a better soul winner? Is that a part of your own prayer life? That could be a yes or no answer. Yes or no. Do I sincerely try to help that prayer be answered? In other words, are you going to put feet to your prayers, or is it just going to be a prayer? Lord, help me. But I'm not going to do anything about it. Next set of questions. Am I generally embarrassed to converse with people about Christ? This is a tough one. Because some of us have fear. And some of Brent Hunter's material deals with having fear about talking to people about Christ. And I hope to work with you more on this material so we can overcome that. Do I know enough scripture to help one become a Christian? Do you have enough stuff memorized in here that if you were talking to somebody out at the supermarket and you got in a deep conversation that you could give them Bible-based scripture on what to do to be saved? You have that in your heart. I am ashamed to say I am terrible about memorizing scripture. And part of my problem is I keep saying that to myself. So don't say that to yourself. Get busy, memorize some scripture. Do I honestly feel that I am my brother's keeper and that his salvation may depend largely upon me? Yes or no? Have I offered the excuse I don't know how for not doing personal work? Possibly. Do I think I can ever really learn until I try? And when do I plan to begin? That might require a date. Maybe it's January 4th, 2015, if you plan to begin. A few more questions. Has it occurred to me that many will die and go to God unprepared while I'm wasting my time thinking I don't know how? Am I interested enough in heaven, and does it mean enough to me that I earnestly desire others to go with me? Earnestly desire it. Does a checkup list like this help me do better? I hope it does. I hope you'll take that list home and maybe go over it again in the quietness of your home and your thoughts and your mind. What can we do as lighthouse keepers to be engaged as rescuers of lost sinners, to be a light to a dark world, to do the work of spreading the good news of the gospel, and to bring souls to Christ? What can we do? You have a Bible. Can you use it? I'm going to recommend that we present seeing the big picture of the Bible. Looking at the Bible message from beginning to end with an understanding of bringing people to Christ. This particular presentation, and if I had my notes, I'd give you more detail on it, but let me give you a little bit of detail. Number one, this was developed by Ken Craig. The text of it is in his book, The Big Picture of the Bible. You can order these. I'm going to recommend that the men of the church order a gross of them and have them available. And it is, I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. I'm going to show you the Reader's Digest condensed version of it, and then we're going to wrap up this presentation. But I believe this is a really good way to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reason is number one, it is an hour long. It is a 1 hour presentation. It's short and to the point. It is successful. It is proven now by people who have been using this for many years, several years, including Brother Brent Hunter, who has used it down in El Cajon in the Johnson Street Church of Christ and at his congregation up in Washington. Kirkland, Washington. Thank you, Nancy. See, I don't have my notes, so I need help. Kirkland, Washington. They have about a 50% positive response rate. They are baptizing 50% of the people they show this to. Now, are some of them following away? Yes. People do fall away. People do come in. You know the parable of the sower. Some of them come in, they receive the word, and then they're caught up and they're gone. But a 50% response rate. It's wonderful. All right. I'm not going to go into a lot more detail, but you're going to hear more about this. I'm going to go to a very short picture or a very short presentation. This is the Reader's Digest condensed version. But I want you to see just a little bit what this looks like, what this big picture presentation looks like. And I want you to realize that this is gospel-based, Bible-based, and if the PowerPoint will come up, which I believe it will here in a minute, I will show this to you. There we go. That might help. We'll get it. See, loading, loading, loading. I love that little green line. Sometimes that little green line just goes on forever, though. But this is a very success-based presentation. As I said, it works very well. The congregations that are using it are growing. The other wonderful thing about it is the people that are using it and learning from it are being strengthened in their own personal faith. As they use this and they use these scriptures that are throughout this thing, and why is it taking that long, I don't know. It didn't before when I brought it up yesterday. It was very powerful, and here we go. All right, now we're going to go through this rapid fire because I'm running out of time. and I want to wrap this up. But I want you to see what this looks like. I want you to see some of the scriptures and the graphics that are used in this. And this can be used in a multiplicity of ways. You can do it on your computer. We can do flip charts. We can do a number of things. And you can use this to present. And I'll talk to you more about who's going to present and who's not. Major theme, God's amazing plan of redemption. That's the first slide right out the gate. What are we talking about? We're talking about the message of God throughout the Bible. 66 books, 3 continents, 40 authors, 6 major empires. Okay, I'm not going to read all of these. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. We believe that, right? God's message of salvation. God's power of salvation. We start out, I didn't want to skip that one. Starts out with the gospel must be obeyed. Those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, there's a penalty of eternal destruction. You're going to start out with that. I know that sounds a little harsh, but it's presenting the gospel. Talks about a warning to Christians. So if you're presenting this to denominational folks or people, it's the warning about presenting the true gospel, not a different gospel. The old law brings us to Christ. God desires a spiritual relationship and fellowship with us. That's the message throughout the Bible. Sin and death go together. Sin separates us from Christ and God and God's love. God's love provides a way to pay the price. Mercy and blood, that's the basis of atonement. Here's the animal sacrifice. Here's the sinner. I love this little graphics. The sacrifice is offered and the sin of the sinner is imputed to the lamb, the innocent sacrifice, and he becomes sanctified figuratively. The sins were imputed to the sacrifice, and the death was justice and mercy prevailed. I'm not going to do these real good, but I'm going to just show you this, and this is how you would go through it. Some basic scriptures, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Connecting, as we've done in our classes in Exodus, Christ as the Passover Lamb. Okay? This is the message. Here's prophecy written 750 B.C. before Christ regarding his death. The Old Testament fulfillment. I'm going to come down here because I can see these things better. The sins, again, he bore our sins on his body on the cross that we might die to sin. Christ's sacrifice was a spiritual death. There's some really good scriptures. Christ's sacrifice was reconciliation. Now we're going to start linking death and burial with resurrection and appearances. And guess where we're going to end up? We're going to end up discussing baptism. I've been crucified with Christ and no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Crucified with Christ. When does it happen? Okay, now we're going to get down to specifics. When does that actually happen? When or how? Romans 6, powerful, powerful chapter in the Bible about we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? The sin is taken away by the sacrifice of Christ. How and when? Guess what? Into baptism, into his death. Into his death, out just in newness of life. Very bold, graphic presentation of the gospel of Christ with all of the scriptures. I won't read all these because I don't have time. I'm going to post this on, link to this on the church website, and you can go to it and you can look at the whole thing on the website. There's a PDF of it, and we'll get this out to you, everybody. For the wages of sin is death, free gift of God is eternal life. Here again, into Christ's death, out in the newness of life, just as he was resurrected. And then we're going to start going into one body, one spirit, one hope, one baptism. What shall we do? They believe the gospel. Now let's talk about some of the other ways of people, our denominational world is telling people that they can get into Christ. Do nothing. There's nothing you can do. Christ did it all. Just believe. Pray the sinner's prayer. Accept Jesus into your heart. What do we know about those? False gospel. What did Peter say? Repent, each one of you. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the gospel response. That's what people who responded to the New Testament did. The big picture, patriarchal age, again, the breadth of the Bible, and where it's going, an urgent and important command. Now you're coming to the end of this. And you have to bear in mind, this is about a 60-slide presentation. I've done it down to about 40. Come on. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who has not believed shall be condemned. And the final slide, do you want to die with Christ? To be resurrected in a newness of life? I think you can see the power of that particular presentation. And I'm going to finish up with problem and solution number 2. And this will be brief. Let's see if that magic green line is working again. There it is. This is a shorter presentation. This is just a few more slides to finish this up. But I hope you're seeing the power of this. I recommend, again, presenting the big picture, looking at the Bible message from beginning to end. Let me suggest something to you. We have it in our head, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithfully. That is true, all of that. But we need to focus on the gospel of Christ is the power of Christ's sacrifice to cleanse us from sin and put us in a right relationship with God. That is the gospel. Believe, confess, repent is all the steps that we need to do to get there, but the gospel of Christ is that powerful message. So how do we do this? We need some Peter, Pauls, and Priscillas. If you look up Acts 26, that's the scripture where Priscilla and Aquila went and taught Apollos the way of God more fully. We need some people to take the big picture presentation and go out in the world and teach either denominational people who are willing to listen or active seekers who are looking for the gospel of Christ. We also need some Andrews. Andrews are those who say, I can't talk that way. I can't do like you, Dan. I can't stand up in front of people. I get all tongue-tied. I can't remember things. My head gets scrambled. But I think I could invite people to come hear you if we could sit down in their living room and you could present this. I know somebody right now who's searching. They're reading the Bible, they're looking for truth, and let's take this message to them, but I can't do it. I need help. Okay, you're an Andrew. Andrew went out and got Peter and brought him to Christ. Peter's brother, Andrew. He said, you've got to come see this guy. I'm going to take you to him. We're taking people to the Lord when we're going to present this big picture presentation. We're going to put the Lord right in front of them. We need some Barnabases. We need support people to encourage, uplift, show hospitality to new converts. I'll tell you a little secret. You probably heard this from me before. If I hadn't had somebody invite me back to lunch the following Sunday, I'm not sure I would have gone back to that little Church of Christ in Chico. I'm not sure I would have learned the truth. But they gave me hospitality and brought me in and treated me, and I was impressed with that. And so we need hospitality. We need people to encourage. We need people praying for those who are doing the presenting. We need people who are praying for the Peter, Paul, and Priscillas and the Andrews and the hearts of the lost that they will receive the message of the gospel. Dan McClung's commitment to 2015. I don't know what your commitment is, but here's mine. I'm going to learn all I can about the big picture method of sharing the gospel. This is not something new. I'm dressed in a new suit tonight. I thought I'd put it on because I can spiffy up a little bit. Maybe putting myself in a new presentation is going to help. This is the old gospel. This is the pure gospel of Christ presented in a little bit of a new way. But it is not a different gospel. I am going to establish classes to teach myself and others to present the big picture. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. We may be meeting up here at the building. We may be meeting in my home. Somehow, honey, I'm going to be gone a couple nights, maybe, you know, one a week or something like that, or one on the weekend. So I'm going to set up some classes. I'm going to find out. Matter of fact, on the bottom of your handout sheet, you'll see I've marked on there, Mr. McClung, I've heard your words, and now I want to be a Peter, Paul, a Priscilla. I want to be an Andrew. I want to be a Barnabas. And the first four people that bring up to me and they say they want to be a Peter, Paul, or Priscilla, I'm going to give you a book, The Big Picture Gospel of Christ. And Joey Bickley, if you want to take this back to Japan, this one's yours, because I want to go international. I want to request the Indian Wells Valley Church to ask Brent Hunter to come here and teach us from what he has learned. He does about a 5-lesson series. It's dynamite. If you listen to his series, or if you go online to the websites that I've shown you on the back of the presentation, you go to the Sun Garden Church of Christ, you can hear his lessons given to the Sun Garden Church last year. And I think you'll be impressed. So spend some time on the computer listening to this stuff. Download it. I have a set of CDs. If you want to borrow the CDs, I'll give them to you. I want to commit to doing at least 5 presentations of the Big Picture in 2015. 5. That's my commitment. 5 presentations to non-Christians. That's me. Now, what happens? Somebody else does 5. Somebody else does 5. That's 15. Somebody else does 5. It's 20. 25. 30. 30 presentations. According to the statistics, and I'm sorry to use a cold, hard word, half of those people will respond positively to the gospel of Christ. We could baptize 10 to 15 people next year. I commit to using the big picture and the full message of the New Testament to be a soul winner to Christ. I'm frankly tired of being a failure. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Or he who is wise wins souls. I think if we put our little lighthouse here in the hands of God and look for sinners who are looking to be rescued, they will come in, and we will bring them into the fold. Colossians 1:28, it was read earlier. We proclaim him, who's that? Jesus Christ. Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. We need new signs, I think, brethren, on our building. We need one at the entrance. Enter to worship, leave to serve. We might need one over the exit. You are now entering the mission field. I hope you feel this way about it. I hope maybe I've sparked something in you to think about what you can do to spread the gospel of Christ. I think we have a method here to do this, and I think we can use it. I'm going to plan to use it. I hope you'll join me in that. The invitation is simple. What will you do in 2015 to win souls to Christ? Will you be a Peter, Paul, or Priscilla? Will you be an Andrew, bringing those? Just invite somebody to come to church with you. Their statistics are horrible on people who are not inviting others to come to church. Bring them in here. They'll hear the gospel here. But we need to be going out too, like the sign said. Will you be a Barnabas? Will you pray earnestly for the laborers in the field and help them and support them? When we bring people into the church, they need all the love and support and nourishment. They're going to come in with crazy ideas in their head. They're going to need the stability of members here who have learned the truth and know it and can teach it. Maybe just over coffee. Are you going to be a working Christian? We're saying, to the work. Are we going to do it? That is the end of my presentation. We'll sing the invitation song. I'd also invite you, if you don't already have a copy of Muscle and a Shovel, to get a copy of this very powerful book and read it. Read it first, and then you'll be thinking about probably 10 people that you want to give this book to. You can order them online. Brother Philip was getting me copies at $7 a piece. I don't know how he did that. But you might talk to Phil Sagesi. He may have a way of getting some inexpensive copies. We're going to sing Nothing But the Blood. There is nothing but the blood of Christ to wash us from our sin. So if you have a need tonight that needs to be answered, if you just feel like you have not done the work of the Lord like you'd like to, and you want to confess that, and you want us to pray over you and with you, we will do that. If you have any other spiritual need, or if you've seen the gospel of Christ in this very brief presentation, if you understand what it means to be buried with Christ in his death and raised in newness of life, you're ready to be baptized tonight, we can do that. We have water. We will pull up this thing or tear it down, and we will baptize you behind in that baptistry. So come forward as we stand and sing.